Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion about the first part of the 8th season of Flash. We're going to talk about the opening 5-episode arc of Armageddon, and just to get a little background and stuff from the comic book side of things, there was a series, it was really an annual event. By annual event, I mean it was an event that had bookend, you know, 1 and 2 issues. And then the story played out in all of the different annuals that year for DC, called Armageddon 2001. Despite the name, it was published in 1991, look 10 years forward. And the idea was a hero from the future was, you know, going to cause Armageddon and stuff. We've got to stop it. I forget the specifics. It's been a while since I've heard the framing thing. But a character called Wave Rider, which is what the ship in Legends is named for, had the ability to travel through time, be kind of insubstantial and whatnot, and he would go around, it's like, oh, well, let's see if Superman's one of them, kind of touch Superman without Superman knowing and see the potential timeline. So in Action Comics, you get, well, here's where he becomes super, you know, or president, Superman, you know, whatever, in that point. And then you'd go over to, you know, the Hawkman title or Firestorm or whichever characters had titles back in the that year. Now, some of them had multiple titles, so you got multiple timelines and such. And they were playing off that kind of theme of, you know, in this case, the Flash causes destruction 10 years in the future. Instead of Wave Rider, they use Despero as the time traveler and the one with the psychic abilities and whatnot, which is interesting because he is an old school JLA villain with the big purple fin kind of look to him. What's even funnier is at one point he actually joined the Justice League, sort of. I say sort of, it was his body, but it was somebody, something else in the body at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was weird times when that happened for the Justice League. 5-episode arc. They built it as kind of a crossover because we had a couple of guest stars from other shows. We had Black Lightning, Batwoman, Sentinel from Supergirl, Alex.
Mm.
We had the Ryan Choi, who finally suited up as Adam. We had, who else did we have?
Ray Palmer.
Ray Palmer, yeah, that was the one in the first episode. Mia, the future Green Arrow from Arrow and stuff. It even continued the storyline from the Green Arrow and the Canaries pilot, backdoor pilot episode, which was the next to last episode of Arrow. It moved it forward, but only by inches.
Yeah.
They acknowledged it, she's still on that, and they've got an excuse to bring her back, which I would love to see. And it wouldn't surprise me if they bring Mia back in later episodes this season, because there's a line of, oh, you should hang out with our kids kind of a thing. They stop by from time to time. The kids being Impulse and XS from the future, roughly the same time frame as Mia, present day type stuff. So that I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a Flash Green Arrow 2.0 kind of episode.
Well, we also had Nora and Damian Dark.
Yes. And that was, I think, some good stuff. Not so much for Nora. She didn't get a whole lot, but it was a really good episode for Damian Dark.
Well, and the use of Nora was actually really good for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a lot of ways, Joe got the short end of most of the scripts.
Well, it's funny that the Ray Palmer Adam, Brandon Routh, was in the first part of it, and the actress who plays Nora, who is his wife, was in the final part of it. And they never shared screen time in this together, even though they were a couple in Legends.
Well, and they talk about, I mean, Ray basically mentions that they are a couple here.
Yes, he mentions, and she is, her character is referenced a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm pretty sure they could have gotten in touch with her.
Yeah.
So I was curious, I'm assuming it's a budget reason or scheduling or something. The fact they weren't in the same episode.
I would think it was a combination of budget and I think Numbers was the show we joked about it with the most, of the writers can only handle X number of characters. And in the case of the show Numbers, it would be kind of a, if they have an expert come in from the ATF or whatever, oops, one of our regular agents has to get sent off for training.
Yeah, that was one where it's a police procedural, FBI technically. The FBI guy's brother is a mathematician, but they had, what, 4 FBI agents. And the minute they needed a specialist, one of them was always off at training or on vacation or something. And it's like, oh, I guess you got the week off so they could bring in an extra. Yeah. Not an extra, well, guest star.
Yeah, because it was like they had a rhythm that they knew how to write, but it relied on having 4 people in the bullpen, etc.
I just don't feel Flash is quite that, got kind of that rhythm, you know what I mean?
I think they get to a point where it's, we can't have too many characters. And when you think about, we follow a lot of characters on this show.
Well, when we get, you know, how is the relationship between Allegra and Chunk going, you know, in the alternate 10-year future and stuff. And really most of where we see Alex is in the future.
Yeah. And we have Killer Frost and her relationship with Chilblain. We have Caitlin and whether or not she's ready to get into a relationship after
what happened. They're really setting up her having a relationship later in the season.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have Iris and Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Well, we got Joe and Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a fair amount going on. It just seemed like with COVID protocols, getting a husband and wife in at the same time was doable, and they didn't. But it made for a good kind of bookend.
But that's actually the irony, is there are a lot of shows where they've purposely cast family members because it, with COVID protocols, it made filming easier.
Yeah.
So in that respect, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But going back to both COVID protocols and just ease of filming, Jenna got referred to constantly throughout this, and yet we never saw the kid, not even in the 10 years future.
Well, this was a very kid-unfriendly arc.
Yeah.
Not only was she not in there, and again, there was an opportunity in the future to have somebody play the role, but the 2 kids, Bart and Nora, were mentioned a number of times, but the only time they were seen was in the background of a photo in the tag scene at the end of the whole arc, presumably saying, oh yeah, they're going to be, you know, coming back, you know, when the show comes back after whatever its hiatus is, which might be, I was thinking it might be 3 months.
It's after the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, so it's going to be a bit.
Because basically, once the Winter Olympics comes on, nobody wants to compete with the Winter Olympics. So every other network goes to reruns.
Yeah, but you know what I would be tempted to do with the Arrowverse show? Is film some commercials that are, Barry, it's like 100 meter dash, boom, no problem.
Yes.
Archery with Mia, no problem.
Yes, yes.
And just, when you're done with the Olympics, we can do this.
Yeah.
There's some, just like how they did the Fight Club stuff a number of years ago for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's some humor to be done there. But that's part of why I figured it'd be worth watching the 5 and recording on the 5 episodes, is it's going to be a little while before we see more. And they clearly went in knowing we're going to have 5, let's do an arc, do the Winter Olympics, you know, break and come back. But this felt kind of disconnected from sort of where they'd left off with the kids and such, not getting any reference of Jay Garrick or any of that stuff felt a little weird, given that's where they'd left some stuff. Bringing Eobard back, not the least bit surprising.
No, but it took me a second to be sure it was Eobard, because Tom Cavanaugh wears 2 faces now, or his face is 2 characters now.
He's, well, 15.
Well,
he's played
okay.
So many versions of Wells.
Yes, true. But he's back to the pre-show self, if you will, after Crisis.
Sort of, because when we first, the Eobard Thawne character is confusing, because there was the other actor, which was the original face. He had assumed the face of Tom Cavanaugh when he assumed the H.G. Wells guise.
Right.
Back 15 years ago, you know, that whole timeline and stuff. So I couldn't tell how this reverse flashpoint time played out such that he still had that face versus his original, or what we had first seen, because it may not have even been his original.
Mm-hmm.
And how and why Iris kept referring to Barry as Alan, which is the last name, because it implied that Eobard hadn't killed Barry's mother, so they never lived together. He was able to kind of replace Barry as Flash.
Because he took the lightning bolt.
But it left a lot to the imagination.
Yeah, well, and he just said, basically, I went back and changed strategic spots in time to take your life. But part of why Barry moved in with the West family is because he and Iris were friends at school.
Well, friends at school, and the Reverse Flash killed Barry's...
Well, right, yeah. Right. But the point is that even if Barry's mom didn't die...
They still knew each other.
They were still friends at school.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and basically, I mean, it's not just any kid you know at school that when their parent dies and the other parent can no longer raise them, you say, hey, daddy, they can live with us, right?
Yeah, they were close friends at the time. Yeah. Some of that just didn't make sense. I think the slow playing and the the reveal that Joe had died in this alternate timeline, they'd had a line or two to set up. I had seen a headline saying Joe had died.
See, I wasn't sure how to take the line or two that, I mean, it could have been seen as setting it up, but it was also possible to be seen as, like, was he back in WITSEC? He was definitely off screen.
Mm-hmm.
But there was more than one way to read those lines because they were just vague enough.
There was one that was kind of a too soon sort of thing that made me think, he's dead and Barry doesn't know it yet. But that may have also been, I knew from a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way all that played out, particularly with Barry kind of snapping at that point, there were so many other dominoes in place to kind of ruin Barry's life and stuff that it's like, okay. But I had thought from the beginning of the show that there was a potential turning point for the series. I would have considered about 4 or 5 seasons in, give or take, where you could have killed Joe and really spun all the relations around.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the central father figures of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, could you have replaced him with another? Should you have, you know, how does everybody interact? And I felt the way it played out here, now granted, we're at 8th season, there's a ton of other baggage and stuff, a few characters have come and gone. So yeah, it was going to play out differently. But the, you know, he died and you forgot sort of a thing, I didn't understand. It's like, had the time line changed again?
It felt to me like it changed again because there was no sense of grieving in the previous 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And even if you say he died 6 months ago, Cecile was not coming across as part of a grieving household.
Well, starting the season 6 months later, where the Central City citizen is now a big media empire with a, you know, huge, sizable office and a marquee on the building kind of deal.
And a circulation of 2 million.
2 million, yeah.
Online.
They've gotten big. And I'm trying to think if it was one of the ones that had gotten mentioned in the Supergirl series season with...
I think it was
as an up-and-coming. Yeah. But it now has me wondering how much of the 5 episodes we watched took place in an alternate timeline, and are they gonna... I mean, we could come back to the next episode, and maybe they still have the offices, maybe they don't.
Mm-hmm.
It was
confusing. To that point, though, Allegra got promoted to be, like, managing editor and assigning stories and editing the stories before they got published. And that was all, like, within one episode, and then, I don't want to say dropped or forgotten, but because we didn't return to the offices of the citizen and didn't really see any more about them doing the day job stuff.
I expect one of those reporters or people at the Citizen to show back up, specifically the one played by Lindy Booth, because you don't get an actress who's been a regular on a couple of different series. I mean, she was in Librarians.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Relic Hunter. I'm pretty sure she's been in one or two others since, or between. It seems like an odd choice for something that almost anybody could have played.
She was in, what, 3, maybe 4 scenes, very few lines, and...
It reeked of, bring her in, set her up, we've got an arc for her later in the season.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what they did, if that's isolated, it falls flat.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a thread that's picked up later for it to go anywhere.
Well, what's funny is there were 2 other people in similar positions. The difference is, I didn't recognize the actors for them at all, versus somebody who's been a series regular maybe, again, she just, you know, needed the work to get the health credits or whatever for the insurance, maybe doing it for a friend for the pandemic reasons, whatever. It just seems like her character, because of her past history as an actress, is coming back.
Well, but there was also the aspect that the comments her, or the lines her character was given, were, I want to say, more cutting and more pointed.
Mm-hmm. She was the one who was undercutting Allegra as the new editor-in-chief the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as an arc went, they set some stuff up, but so much of it takes place in a timeline only Barry experienced that I'm questioning. I expect them to hang on to Allegra being the editor-in-chief, the new offices, and as much of the other stuff, if for no other reason than it's more trouble for the writers to keep track of what they shouldn't have kept than anything.
If they were doing some kind of visual cue or anything when time changed, I wasn't aware of it.
No. The closest they came to that was the particle effect that
Iris saw
a little inexplicably. And I'd have to go rewatch some of the stuff with her and the Still Force guy.
Yeah, because she saw it because of the time sickness that was left over from last season.
And she's been getting treatments, whatever. But we only saw that character for that episode.
Yeah.
And you'd think, given the time manipulation and whatnot, he'd have helped out or something. I mean, he should have been the one to help out almost instead of Damian Dark. I think the Damian Dark arc was better.
It was. It really was quite impressive.
But getting the other guy, you know, who should be monitoring time, etc. I don't know. There was, while I enjoyed the five episodes, there were a lot of things where I was questioning the decisions the writers made.
I saw something that said the episodes were filmed out of order.
I had heard that the actress who plays Alex filmed it, like, right after walking off the set of Supergirl as it ended.
Interesting.
You know, did the wrap for that and started shooting this or whatever. And I can see where they may have had to do some stuff out of order depending who was available when.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if the first and fifth parts were shot, you know, back to back or whatever. Again, married couple or whatever kind of a thing.
That would make sense because I thought the episode that they filmed either first or second was the one in 2031, which is where they had the girl from Batwoman, where they had most of the scenes with Alex Danvers. So yeah, that would make sense.
I suspect that the shooting order was such that the Alex in person one, during that they filmed a couple of things, they drop into the other episode, a few things like that. I mean, those are production decisions, and that's shoot whatever order makes sense.
Yeah.
It didn't feel out of place or anything.
No, but I just wonder how that affects the rewrites on the script.
To me, it's less a matter of the rewrites than just the rights on the script. I think there were aspects of it that were a little kind of fast and loose.
Well, I guess my thinking is when we were filming, we were getting new script pages right up until we filmed.
I'm curious how much of that sort of thing happens on these shows. I'm sure some does. Is it a little or is it a lot is the question.
And it depended by varied dramatically from episode to episode. I mean, sometimes it felt like you were really handing out an entirely new script. Because there were so many new pages, it wasn't worth having people flip them into place. And other times, it was, okay, we only have five new pages, they're pink, so tell people to sort these pink pages into place in their script.
I would hope with a five-episode arc, you've got it pretty much figured out that you're just either fine-tuning dialogue or making changes based on availability of location, people, sets, whatever. So I would hope it wouldn't be too radical. The part that really stood out for me in the first episode was there was one phrase they just kept using. Leveling up.
Yes. Yes.
And they overpowered Barry at the beginning, so they had to knock him down to like 5%, which maybe he's over, maybe he's not. I don't know. But, oh, he'd leveled up. So-and-so's going to level up. You've got to level up.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh. That to me is, it's not bad writing, but it's noticeable writing. And that one also felt a little heavy-handed in a couple of other regards that was just a little much in a few places. I mean, I think they did a decent, you know, arc. I think trying to pull from, you know, the Armageddon 2001 arc, there were some other possibilities. I almost would have gone with Barry finding out about the future and then having to figure out who was responsible.
Yeah.
Is it Adam? Is it Black Lightning? Is it Batwoman and stuff? Because Batwoman didn't really seem to do a whole lot.
No.
And the Ryan Choi Adam felt so out of character. Not that we'd seen a ton of him in Crisis, but he was there and he was what, the paragon of humanity. And here he was just a paragon of being a jerk.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if I'd have gone with the Armageddon stuff, but I think the plot they had was okay. The execution in places needed a little work. And there were a number of things they were doing for the shock value, you know, potentially destroying Star Labs, blowing up Gideon, you know, things of that sort, killing off Joe, that just gets undone.
It got to the point where I was struggling to figure out, do we have an unreliable narrator? Are we in some kind of dream sequence? Or was there some point where Barry kind of got zapped into the equivalent of a virtual reality because it didn't feel right, if that makes sense. And it wasn't clicking for me that these were changes to the timeline.
I would have gone with him at the start of the first episode. He's fighting somebody and he gets hit really hard and it shakes him, and have like a reverberation effect kind of a thing that you could later say, oh wait, maybe that's when the reverse flashpoint happened. Because here it was unclear, had he been living in it for... He hadn't been living in it for 6 months. It's when he went to the future it happened, but that didn't make sense because some of the changes had already happened. I just...
Mm-hmm.
The logic the writers were using for some of this eludes me.
Yeah.
And that was the disappointment I had. It's a fun watch. It's not the height of where the show had been. It was great to see some of the characters come back.
Well, to me, it was interesting in terms of setting up the rest of the season. It's clear they've got plans for Caitlin,
mm-hmm.
for instance.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they do with the Central City Citizen.
Yeah, I think they've got plans for that. I think they've got plans for Allegra and Chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have potentially plans for Mia. If this is all we get from Mia, I'm going to be disappointed.
I would agree.
And I'm curious what the arc of the rest of the season is going to be, because there's no clue at this point, other than... The impression I got from the tag at the end, Nora and Bart come back. They've been bouncing through time in the past, so there's time shenanigans going on throughout the rest of the season.
Okay, yeah. Because they were in a picture from 2014?
2014, yeah.
Which is season one.
Sounds about right. I did find it funny that every time we see the cops, there's the one who speaks.
Yes.
She became a regular just de facto.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of hilarious. So... Yeah, I don't know kind of where they're going with this. Again, doing a 5-episode arc, given the timing of the season, made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they've done stronger arcs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, for me, it was things like, at one point, I think it was when we were in the future, and we were with Eobard Thawne and Team Flash, and he tells Cecile to go get in the Thinker's chair, and she comes back wearing this funky face mask thing. And I'm like, you were sent to get in the chair.
The face mask was either from the Thinker era or was the Psycho Pirate mask.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
I knew I should recognize it. I just couldn't place it exactly.
Yeah.
Part of it is there's 7 seasons worth of history to pull from.
Yes, that too.
So some of that gets a little overwhelming or whatnot. I don't know that they should continue the show past this season. Only in so much as it's hard to keep it going for so long, given the history. I think they are starting not so much to repeat themselves, but I'd like to see them set up a couple of people for new season, this series.
Mm, yeah.
So we'll see where they go on some of these. Anything else?
I think that does it for now.
Yeah. Again, good opening, decent 5-episode arc. We'll pick up the season when it continues after the Olympics.
Yep.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.